but I want to minister on something along the lines of communion. If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's where we go every Sunday when whenever we have communion, we talk about that. All right? While you're turning there, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise you this morning. I thank you for everyone in this room, Lord. We thank you for the body. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. And Father God, as we minister the word today, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would quicken it to people's hearts, that everyone in this room, whoever they are, young or old, that the Holy Spirit would meet them at their point of need. And Father, I praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is as you eat this bread in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to itself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are sick or weak and sick among you, and many sleep." All right, praise the Lord. I want to say something. There's no provision in the Word of God that we have any way, shape, or form that comes from outside of Calvary. It all points back to the cross of Jesus. Everything we have in the body of Christ. We know, we teach, and we believe that healing was taken care of at the cross when Jesus was beaten. We know that. It doesn't matter what we're standing in faith for. Jesus already accomplished it. All right? It's done. It's a done deal. He died to redeem us. Spirit, soul, and body. Every time we have communion, we look at Psalm 103, which we will do today. But too many times, and I say this, I try to purpose every Sunday that we have, first Sunday of the month, to teach something on the blood of Christ, the body of Christ, something about the cross. Because in many places, in some churches they have it every day, but sometimes it becomes meaningless. It just becomes a ritual. We do it and that's it. We do it once a month and we kind of seem to stick it at the end of the service. Oh, let's not forget we have communion today, you know. But communion, everything points to the cross. He said, when you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. You know, remembrance is kind of like faith. Because you have faith in what took place. You can't remember the future, but you could remember the past. And we remember what Jesus did at the cross. Excuse me. And so it becomes just becomes simply a ritual that people do. People are taught the bread, the wafer that we use are, and the wine are symbolic of Jesus' death on the cross. And but really, there's no power. And in reality, there is no power in the ritual of taking the bread and the wine. It's a ritual. It's something we do. But I know coming out of the denominational churches, with you know, the Catholic Church, and they believe the blood and the wine actually turns into the blood of Jesus. I don't agree with that. And they let you know, if you don't believe in that, don't take communion. And I used to, every time I went to a wedding or a funeral in the Catholic Church and they had communion, I used to take it, except for this last funeral I went to. I got convicted, don't take it, because you don't believe what they're doing. You know? I said, well, that's okay, you know? But having faith in it, remembering what it all stands for, is important and applicable to our healing of our body. Okay? And so Jesus commanded us to receive it, observe it, until he returns. So we have to understand it. You know, I'll tell you, there's three things in that we do in the body of Christ. Number one, we receive communion. Secondly, we have water baptism. You know, water baptism, I mean, I in and of itself, water baptism, it doesn't save you. You know, people say, what happens if a person gets water baptized and they're not saved? They go down a wet sinner, they come up a wet sinner. It's that simple. We want to confuse the issue and make it very complicated. And it's not. Nothing bad's going to happen to them or anything. I mean, even, you know, we get to communion because there's that verse in here that says, if you eat and drink it in an unworthy manner, I believe in open communion. You could take communion. So what if they're not saved? They're having grape juice and a wafer. There is absolutely no faith in it. It means nothing to them. He's talking specifically to a believer. When he drinks it and takes it in an unworthy manner. Okay? That's who he's talking to. He's not talking to the unbeliever. They're not saved anyway. Doesn't make any difference. And people usually get upset with me when I say that. And it's usually people who came out of a denominational church. Like I just talked about, they get upset over that. But the point is, it's a grape juice. It's a wafer. You know, as Bobby Andy would say, he who doesn't care was Twinkies and Coca-Cola. It's not the grape juice or the wafer. It's what you believe. That's important. He says, but they don't discern the body of Christ. And people say, you see, you have to be walking in love with every single believer on planet Earth. And I don't think so. It's not going to, I mean, you walk in love towards them, but, you know, it's talking about discerning what happened to Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. Sure, we have to walk in love towards our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But, you know, how many of you have something, you know, that bothers you about a brother and sister in the Lord? You know what I mean? Hello? You know, you're not going to go out and do anything bad to them, but, you know, you got like this in here. It's talking about discerning Jesus' body, his physical body. And people say, well, why, you know, and I have a couple more things. That was the first ritual. The second one is water. And the third one is anointing with oil. I remember years and years and years ago, I'm not going to mention the minister's name, but I was in a meeting. It was an outside meeting. And they had oil. And it sat out there for a good 2 hours in the sun. And they just, the end of the story, going to anoint people with oil. And away they went. Well, that oil hit them in the forehead. Then people were going, wow, wow. It was hot. You see, there's no power in the oil. It's a ritual. It's a point of contact. It's a remembrance of what it stands for. It's a reminder that it's the Holy Spirit that comes from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And you know, sometimes as believers, we need to separate the fact from the fiction. Now, I've seen people get water baptized, come up speaking in tongues, seeing people instantly healed with getting anointed with oil. The Holy Ghost will do that. But our faith needs to be in the one doing it, not the element that we're using. Okay? So, that being said, there's two elements in communion. Let's get them over here. We have grape juice. and we have the wafer. And we put so much, you know, there's been so many arguments. Should it be grape juice? Should it be grape juice from Israel? Should it be wine? You know, what is it supposed to be? As I said before, it's what it represents. It could be a glass of cold water. And that's not to diminish the ritual. The point is we put so much emphasis on the elements and not who the elements represent. And they represent Jesus Christ. He's the one who went to the cross. So some people say when Jesus died on the cross, healing wasn't part of that atonement. Only salvation was. And which brings up some questions in my mind. If that's the case, if healing wasn't part of the atonement of Jesus and salvation was, how come Christians still do bad things? Think about it. Because they say, well, everybody would be instantly healed. If atonement was healing and salvation, okay. Well, my argument is real simple. He wanted to get the... Anyway, but my point being is, if that's the case, why aren't they instantly, all their bad habits, aren't they taken away? Why do they still do them? That's my argument. That used to bother me because you hear people say, well, you know, no, the healing is not part of the atonement. And there was a great book co-written with Kenneth Hagin about healing and the atonement. And I'm not here to get into all of that, the logistics of that. The point is, you hear that argument. You know, you hear people who don't believe that they say, well, if it's God's will to heal you, then you'll be healed. So, okay, if it's God's will for you to be saved and not do bad things anymore, well, you'll not do them. And if it isn't, you're still going to do them and you're really not saved. And that's where we get with predestination and all that other stuff comes into play. Putting out the fact that everything is by faith. Amen. Everything we do is by faith. We're human beings. So that argument always bothered me. And one of the things that I realized about it over the years was the fact that there are two elements involved in salvation. There are two elements involved in communion. There's one element involved in water baptism, one element involved in anointing with oil, but two elements involved in communion, two elements involved in your salvation, blood and bread. Okay? Those are the two elements. Paul instructed us that the bread and wine, if you read through all his writings, the bread and wine are to be taken separately. Okay? Paul taught us that the wine speaks specifically of the blood of Jesus. The bread speaks specifically of the body of Jesus, the work of his body. We have the work of his blood and the work of his body. Two separate things. Acts 20:28 says, shepherd the church of God which was purchased with his own blood. He bought the church. We are the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. He bought it. Romans says, much more than having now been justified by his blood. We're justified by the blood of Jesus. We're talking about our spirits being made new, have an entrance into heaven. You know, you could go to heaven full of years or full of sickness. You know, it's your choice. Okay? Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 20 says, knowing that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious. And the word precious means of great price, held in honor, esteemed, especially dear. the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then Paul goes on to talk about the bread, what the bread speaks of. They're two separate entities, all right? Paul taught that the bread speaks of the stripes Jesus took in his body so the power of God could remove sickness and disease for us. That's what Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5 are about. Surely he had borne our sickness and carried our pains, and with his stripes we are healed. Are healed. Actually, it says, this is Old Testament, we are. Another word for the word are is the word stay. We stayed healed when he hung on the cross, okay? And people say, well, it has to do with spiritual healing and all this other stuff. He said, surely he had borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Why did he speak of pain, and why did he speak of, and he doesn't just speak of pain, he says our pain, our sickness. Because Jesus had no sickness or pain of his own. When he died, and the Bible is specific, he took it, all your sickness and all your diseases on himself. That's why Isaiah says it was our sickness. It wasn't Jesus. Jesus had no sickness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? We can put it this way. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not our relationship or partnership of the blood of Christ? And he goes on to say, the bread which we speak, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Oh, think about that for a minute. What, blood, body. You can't get away from it being two separate things. When we receive it, we're receiving his blood by faith and his body. And they both represent something. All right? So the wine, and again, it has the idea of relationship. It has the idea of partnership. It's the word communion. Partnership, it has the idea of fellowship. So we're here in fellowship, all right? The wine stands for the blood. The bread stands for the body. So, like I said before, if he atoned for both, why are people still not healed? Why? And my answer to that is, why do people still sin? Okay? But nobody ever looks at that end of it. They always look at that. Well, they didn't get healed, blah, 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 and they went through that whole thing. Well, why didn't they get, why are they still sinning? There are two elements. His blood purchased your salvation. Okay? And his body purchased your healing. When we accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're putting faith in his blood. His blood. The atoning work of the blood of Christ. When we drink this grape juice, we're doing in remembrance, we're putting our faith in the fact that we have been saved. Okay? Not the body, but the blood. Now, when you accept Christ as your healer, leave this here, as your healer, you're putting faith in his body. Okay? You're accepting the fact of the total finished work of his body. And by taking both of them together, you're complete. Okay? Acts 20, 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. His blood, not his body. He didn't purchase the church with his body. He acquired the church with his blood. He took ownership of the church with his blood. Adam and Eve were, that was the price that had to be paid for him to get his people back. But you know, when Adam and Eve were created in this earth, they were created perfect. They didn't have sickness. They didn't have disease in their body. So first part of equation, when we receive him as Savior, we are brought back into the body of Christ. We are brought back. We are bought by his blood. We become part of the church. But how many of you know there's a lot of sick people in the church? A lot. Romans says, much more than being justified by his blood. We were justified by his blood. And what I read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Okay? And now when we look at healing, we're going to look at the healing for. That was just the blood part, really. But healing, again, surely he had borne our griefs, our sicknesses. He carried our sorrows, our pain. He took it with him. And we looked at him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is 2,000 years before Jesus ever came close to the cross. And he says, you are healed. Where did he bear your stripes? Thank you. And the Hebrew word for stripes means bruise. He was bruised. And it's the reference to the beatings that Jesus went through on our behalf. The whip on his back. The piercings from the whip. The nail marks. The spear mark in his side. The crown of thorns on his head. They were all for your sickness. And you know, I like it because Matthew 18, chapter 8 says, that it might be filled by the prophet Isaiah saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Where? In his body. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24 tells us, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness. And there's a separation. Why didn't we die to sin? When we received the blood of Jesus. Then he goes and he says, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah says you are. First Peter says you were. So if you are, you were. Am I right? It was an accomplished fact already. Actually, you were healed before Jesus ever went to the cross. In the mind of Jesus, you were healed. Because in the mind of God, because he was the sacrificial lamb slain. Everybody say slain. Bible specifically says before the foundation of the world. You know what we saw on the Calvary? A video playback of what took place in the beginning. Before there was anybody ever here. It was a video playback. Because he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That means healing was accomplished before Jesus was ever even born. That should be shouting area. And it says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why? You got to ask yourself why. And he says what the problem is, we're out of fellowship. Not relationship with the Lord. The word sleep means to die early. That's all that means. To die early. And we said at the beginning, why? Because they did not discern the Lord's body. They did not discern this wafer, what it represents. Doesn't say a thing about the blood, does it? Does it say he didn't discern the Lord's blood? I got a new name for them, the choir boys. Anyway, praise the Lord. It's twins, man. One says something, the other one's got to believe it. Anyway, that's okay. They're kids. That's their job. But it doesn't mention anything about his body, about his blood, only his body. It says we're weak and we're sickly because we don't discern his body, the physical body of Jesus. So when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've accepted his blood. Now, when I was preparing this message, I had a whole nother message I was teaching today. And you know, at the beginning of the week, I had this whole thing. And then Wednesday afternoon, as I was getting ready for Wednesday night, the Lord says, this is what the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. Said, and I was going to tell my wife, so I'm not going to tell you. No, I don't. And I didn't. And the Lord says, I want you to, it's not the first time I've ever ministered along these lines. Probably never going to be the last time. But he says, I have something specific in mind I want done today. Okay? And, you know, salvation is the greatest miracle in the world. Okay? There's no healing of the body that could ever compare to the miracle of salvation. You do know that. The Bible says, what if a man gets healed in life and never receives salvation? What's he gain? Absolutely nothing. But God will heal people who aren't saved. You know, it's not reserved just for the saved people. Some Christians believe, think that. Oh, we can't bring them to a healing service. They're not saved. Well, how do you know God's not going to heal them and they're going to get saved? You know? But I don't want to minimize healing by any stretch, but we need to keep our priorities in order, okay? Healing is important. So we have these two separate things. Turn to Psalm 103. He even separates it in Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, that's salvation, and heals all your diseases. Forgives all your iniquities, that's the blood. Heals all your diseases, that's the bread. That's the body of Christ. All right? That's what he's talking about here. They go hand in hand. But don't confuse them. They are not the same. They are two separate entities in the body of Christ. Bodily healing is not spiritual healing. This is my own personal thing. I believe you're spiritually healed the minute you receive Jesus as your Savior. All right? Bodily healing is a totally different scenario. Jesus even says to the man that was paralyzed, he says, what's easier, for thy sins to be forgiven or to say, rise up and walk? See, they're separate, but they go together. You can't separate them, but you have to appropriate them properly. And every single one of us, when we got saved, appropriated the blood of Jesus. And a lot of us confused the fact that it was his body and his blood that got us saved. But it was his blood that saved us. It was his body that healed us. So in fact, what we have done over the years is receive Jesus as our Savior. But my question is, and I've said this before, and I'm going to do something God specifically instructed me, and I'm saying, Lord, how are we going to do it? He says, just go with the flow. Okay. How many people have actually received Jesus as your healer? Now, I got a question. Here's what we're going to do this morning. How many people need healing in their body today? If you need healing in your body, I want you to stand up where you're at. Okay. If you need healing in your body, I want you to stand up where you're at. Because we're going to do something a little bit different.
Get the music.
Okay, all right, everybody sit down. Let me do this. I said it the wrong way. How many people, to your knowledge, have not received Jesus as your healer? You haven't said, there was a time in my life when I said verbally that I received Jesus as my healer. Because up until that point, I received him as my Savior. And it was years down the road. How many of you really made a conscious effort in your heart that you made it and you said, I receive Jesus as my healer? How many didn't? Stand up. No, those who haven't. Okay. If you haven't received him as your healer, stand up. All right. Come on down here. We're going to come on down the front. Today, you're going to receive Jesus as your healer. Then we're going to have communion. Then you will go sit down and you won't have to receive him again because you already have it. I mean, today. But, or if you want to take communion again when we sit down and we do it all together, that's okay. But this is specifically to receive Jesus. And I'm using the wafers because it's a point of contact. Okay? It's simply a point of contact that you know that today, August 7th, 2016, you could say, that's the day I received Jesus as my healer. I know when I received Jesus as my Savior. I know that day. I know the day I did this too, but I remember that. Most of you remember the day you got saved. And now salvation is truly the all-inclusive word of the Bible. But still, we need to differentiate between body and blood. You all understand? I make myself clear because I was getting a little confused myself there. And we don't want to do that, but we want you healed. Amen? So I'm going to give everybody, just hold that. All right, together, we're going to receive this together. Okay? Then we're going to sit down and we're going to have communion as a family today. Amen? Okay, I want us to repeat this after me, then I want us to partake of this, okay? Just repeat this after me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I accept Jesus as my healer. From this point on, I am whole. No more can Satan put his sickness on me. Jesus took my infirmities. And bore my sicknesses. And with his stripes, I am healed. I accept everything that my Father gives me. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. I confess him now. As my healer. I am whole. And I will stay that way. So receive this. Father, we receive this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank Amen.
You, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
So, you are healed. I would venture to say that some of you are going to find out in the next day or so that what's ever ailing you is gone.
Thank you, Lord God.
All right? But my point was to get you to receive him publicly, the way we confessed him as our Savior, as your healer. Amen? You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do communion now. Amen. Ushers, we can pass out the communion elements at this point now. Praise God. We're going to receive communion. Now that we've got a pretty good handle on what it's all about. You see, I believe this. I believe that when you're sick, and I don't practice it all the time myself, and I should, that going to the doctor and is important. But I think before we go to the doctor, we should receive communion. To put ourselves in remembrance that we received him as our healer. And God will use doctors. Thank God for that. Yeah. If he didn't, there would be a lot of Christians that have gone home to be with the Lord before. You notice I'm learning how to use my words, because normally I would say there'd be a lot of dead Christians. But there would, a lot of Christians would go home before they're supposed to. So I try to make it even if I'm driving in a car and I'll think of it and I'll just say, I thank you, Lord, that you're my healer. That I know I received him as my healer. But man, I had a little guy used to come and minister here. He's gone home to be with the Lord. And he looked like Danny DeVito. He really did. He was about this tall, just loved Jesus. And he'd come and minister, and every time he'd come to minister, he'd always bring an attaché case with him. And he'd come in, and we'd go into, right? Anthony Lopardo, his name was. We'd go in my office, and he'd flip that thing open, and he was from Oklahoma. He was actually from New York, but he lived out there. He'd flip up that little briefcase, open it up, and pull out the wafers and the grape juice. And he'd just sit there, and he goes, let's have communion. He says, because Jesus wants to move today. We should do it. You know, and I always, always think of this guy. And we should do it. If we're going to the doctor, just take 2 minutes. And get, it doesn't have to be grape juice. It could be water. It could be a piece. It doesn't. The point is to sit there and take the time to acknowledge the fact and put yourself in remembrance, so you have something to hook your faith up to.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
And then be obedient to the doctor at this point. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go down in my juice. Praise God. Everybody's been served. Everybody has the communion elements. Praise God. Let's just take this morning. Father God, we praise you. Lord, we thank you that by his stripes we are healed.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we receive the body of Christ this morning as our healing agent. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for this grape juice that represents the blood of Jesus, the blood that has redeemed us from the curse, that has forgiven all our iniquities, that has made us clean. And we are the blood-bought church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we receive this morning humbly and with thanksgiving, remembering what Jesus did on the cross and that sin has no power over our lives. In Jesus' name we receive it. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Let's stand our feet. Jesus had a tremendous healing ministry, didn't he?
Amen.
He went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. For
Amen.
God was with him. And you know what? It just became a revelation to me that I don't put as much You know, when you get sick, all of a sudden you say, oh, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and you curse the sickness in your body. But you know what? We ought to give that attention to our body, our physical healing and our physical bodies as much as we do the blood, because I always confess the blood. Amen. Amen? But we ought to get up and thank God for his broken body every day so that we can be healed. I always say, Father, I praise you and thank you for the blood that covers us and protects us. But you know what? We need to thank him for his broken body.
Yes, hallelujah.
I mean, seriously, I think that that's something that I'm going to begin to do, because his biggest ministry was healing the sick and oppressed to the devil. Amen. That was the most, and that's the ministry he gave us in Mark 16, right? When he said to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So healing is very important to the Lord. And we need to put, you know, great importance on that. Amen. That was very good. Praise Amen. God forevermore. Yes. Let's go singing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Okay. Pastor Eddie wants to say something.
I just want to say real fast, while Pastor was ministering, when we receive communion, how many have ever bought a new appliance or something like that in your house? Okay. How many have ever, they sell you with that extended warranty? How many have ever had to use and exercise that extended warranty? Well, what's the first thing that we do? We take that thing out. We look through it. We see what belongs to us and what has been, you know, we paid for. And then we make the phone call. And we say, listen, I have an extended warranty, a contract that says that if this, and we go through it. And receiving communion is just the same exact thing as taking out that contract and reviewing it. You know, when we can make that relation, because we all have had the call about broken appliances or vehicles, whatever it is. But when we receive communion, it literally is the same exact thing. It's reviewing our contract, you know, and proclaiming what belongs to us. Yes. We have no problem telling Best Buy, hey, look, I don't want, let me talk to a manager. If you can't help me, put someone on who can, because this is what's mine. That's the same thing with communion and our healing. Woo-hoo.